Hey everybody, before we get started, I do have a small message from one of our fellow podcasters.
Welcome to the Arcane Amphitheater, a Dungeons & Dragons actual play centered around a cast of morally ambiguous re-deviants. Join us as our cast attempts to atone for the sins of their past in this roleplay-heavy, character-driven story.
He's a really good friend. I hear all really good friends.
Our troop is sure to bring you laughter.
I am in the possession of magic-enhancing drugs.
Tears.
The pain that I've endured, it can't be for nothing, right?
Hope.
I did the unthinkable, and you better believe I will do the impossible.
But most importantly, characters worth rooting for.
I summon a vestige of a person that I wish I could have become but never could.
Don't miss out when the curtain rises at Arcane Amphitheater, available anywhere you get your podcasts, with new episodes dropping every Wednesday. We hope to see you there. Gang ho.
So, if you get a chance, give them a listen. Thank you very much, and back to our show. Hey everybody, welcome back to Big Campaign Stories. We are on a side hustle here with our bold partners. But before we get started, let's get some lightsaber checks. James.
Yes, let's roll that D20. See what, I got a 9.
All right.
Did I mess it up? Am I supposed to say more?
If you want to say your character, what character you're playing, and then
oh, yeah. Next person. I'm just like looking up facts about someone we were talking about. Any case, yes, I'm James, Gravity Fail 87 on socials, and I'm playing Terrence McConnor, ex-seeker and avid raceway enthusiast. Let's do Doug.
All right, I'm going to roll my D20. And I got an 8, almost as good as James. My name is Doug, though. I'm going to be playing Flynn Excellent today, reprising that role of my not-so-nice lawyer trying to help out the boss. And let's kick this over to Josh next.
Hey, guys. I'm Josh. I'm playing Corbin Thus. This is my lightsaber check. Guys, this is not good. That's 9, 8, and I rolled a 7. So we're pretty fucked. Here we go. And I'll pass it on to Scott.
Well, hey, everybody. This is Scott Hoffman. I'm the GM of the Dice of Thunder podcast, and I am reprising my role as Chesshurl Man, hero of the Black Library. Let's see if I can keep it rolling. I broke this cycle, and I got an 18 instead of a 6. I was really hoping for a 6.
I also was hoping for a 6.
Sorry, everybody. And now let's pass it back to our delightful GM, Jeff.
Alrighty. And with that, Corbin, do you have anything to recap?
Yes. I got
you met your new best friend.
First of all, let me get there.
No, you're right there.
Got tasked by the boss to go assess a potential new recruit to help with some anchored business. Went to the diner, saw this kid, met the kid. Yep, it's him. And then I got him back. And then we got him back. And it was our first date. And then we got him back to base. He was offered a job, and I asked for a promotion. And that's pretty much where we're at right now.
And for the record, I offered to give you my salary.
Don't want your
As that promotion, and you turned it down.
I don't think Corbin would want any. I don't think he would want to give you any reason to talk to him more than you already do.
No, it's Chesro just doesn't understand capital. That's really what it is.
Crazy, because you love burgers and you have to spend money for burgers unless you lie
Harry
your
Potter,
ass
man.
Off.
No, there's a Gringotts vault somewhere. Yeah, that he's
just full of gold in the trash. You don't have to pay for them. You just have to pay for fresh burgers.
All he has to do is ask.
See, that worries me. I don't know if you're actually paying for stuff now. You say stuff like that.
Everyone is always so generous.
That man did a handstand in the street, and his friends were very confused. All right?
We'll pick up this session as Chesro and Corbin are driving out to meet up with Flynn Exelam and Terrence McConnor. You kind of have the voiceover from Xavier after you guys see the explosions out in the city and on the screen as it cuts to we're experiencing technical difficulties with Type's face on it. But Xavier would tell you all to, with what's going on in the city, I'm going to have you go meet up with Flynn and Terrence at my Scorn Market dealer, Boratrax. Once they meet there, you'll be able to get the equipment that we've set aside for you, as well as be able to purchase any extra things that you think you will need for this.
Is that in the Seleni District, or is it back in the city?
That will be at the in the Seleni District. We'll start looking into this HCOM to see if we can find out where they are while you meet up with the rest of the crew.
What district is fucking Cody's character? What's the one we should stay out of?
Dustbanter.
Dustbanter. That's the one.
Which is kind of like the main city area, right? Like that's...
Yeah.
I knew that, and I just wanted to make sure I knew that.
No, I appreciate that. You were making sure I knew. I was trying.
No. It was really... maybe for the group. So Corbin and Chesro are in the car together, driving to this contact?
Correct.
Yeah, Corbin, so...
I have a question, if I may. Are you from the Seleni District? Do you live here?
Corbin's going to nod. Corbin's going to look at Chesro, and he's going to say, Chester, yeah, I live in the area, but I'm not from Chesro. The area.
When you look out over the ocean, do you ever wonder that some colossal, great old creature is going to step out and end all of existence? I've read some shit in the Black Library, and let me tell you, it'll keep you up at night.
I do not.
You don't? Okay. No. I will try that then, and he just continually is just staring at the ocean.
From there, we'll cut across to Flynn driving Terrence as you're heading to meet Boratrax.
Even if this is Flynn's car, he would let Terrence drive it.
This car handles decently. Where'd you get it, Flynn?
Impound.
Man, usually there's some good stuff in Impound. I'd say this is. At least, like, you know, a 4 out of 6.
That's good, because I didn't even pay 4 gold for it.
Well, you know, free is free, I guess. Or less. I don't know. Whatever.
It's famous.
Really need to get get it realigned. It kind of pulls to the left a little bit. But anyway.
Just rub it against the curb. That'll straighten it out.
You know, maybe... Yeah. Well, we're going to pick up my car. It's a lot nicer. Than this. So it should be fine.
Is that like a mini bar?
You know, I did request that it's stocked with oranges and Gatorade. So, yes, kinda. And some other stuff too, but.
Really don't have to take the fun out of things, but sure.
You know, you always want to be prepared for any situation, and you'd be surprised what you can do with some oranges.
Yeah, scurvy's a real curse of the land.
You know, not enough people get vitamin C these days. They eat all that processed, soylent green
stuff. Oh, and it's stuff. Great. Ugh.
If you say so.
Flynn just starts patting his pockets to see if he has any.
Terrence is going to be, like, looking for different buttons to flip to see if this car can do anything else besides its normal drive.
Absolutely not. If anything, you'll be surprised to find, like, when you check the cigarette thing, there's just nothing behind it. It's just a hole.
Yeah, it's like when you get into a new car for the first time and you're flicking like all the lights on and off and the windows up and down and things left and right. Like,
No, instead it'll do weird crap. You turn on the windshield wipers and the lights turn off. Something like that.
Yeah, I will say that...
This car has been through some shit.
That Terrence is probably driving your car faster than you have... That you normally drive your car and making aggressive merges and turns every time that he has to change lanes or change directions.
Since you got it from the impound, we'll say that the radio turns off every time you take a left, but it does turn on when you take a right.
Perfect.
I only say that because I had that. I had that Nissan pickup truck. That was my first stick shift truck.
Perfect.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I think with that, Terrence would just be like flipping through the channels, like, oh, there's nothing. There's never anything good on. They don't have any prog rock, classic rock, alt rock, heavy metal, death metal, doom metal, gloom metal, or even acid trip rock.
It's surprising because it sounds like you'd listen to just about anything, but you can't find something you like.
You know, maybe some old country, but no one plays that anymore either.
But yeah, you'll pull up outside of the building where Boratrix is stationed at. Another vehicle pulls up outside as well. Corbin, I believe you have kind of a black, kind of a blacky, as you described, like a Men in Black-esque car.
Yeah, it's like a boxy sedan.
You'll pull up as all of you can do introductions as you all get out. Chesro, you would get a text back from Fours saying, who's that?
Oh, because I sent him a picture of Corbin.
Yeah. You asked if he was cool.
Yeah. I'll just really quickly text back, IDK. Lucius's brother sent him to collect me. Or actually, you know what I would say is X sent him to collect me.
Corbin's going to wait till Cheshire gets out of the car first, and he's going to do a sweep to make sure he didn't leave any burger wrappers or grease stains in his car.
Very clean.
He'll do a sweep, and then he'll close the glove compartment that Cheshire would probably dug in as they were driving, and put it back, and put everything back the way it was before he got into the car. Close the door.
Nope, he was very respectful to your space.
In like Cheshire's version of respectful to your space, or like
completely just respectful. Quietly.
Okay, I don't know if Cheshire chuckles to himself, but I definitely see him texting back as he's walking towards the group, and I'm gonna probably beeline it to Flynn. I know Corbin knows Flynn. He's gonna spot Flynn as the other passenger of his jalopy.
Hey, Corbin.
Flynn
will finish stuffing the other half of the power bar he found in his pocket down his mouth. Kind of wipes his hands off on his suit before reaching out a hand to shake.
Yeah, Corbin will wait. Yep. Shake your hand, pull you in. Good to see you.
Who's this guy?
Oh, hello. I am Chesro, man.
Well, here he is.
I live at the Black Library, and I have recently been hired by our esteemed friend, Xavier Escherbold, to join Bold Partners.
That's where Terrence is going to, like, interject in and just, like, put out a hand to shake Chesro's hand.
Chesro Man.
Terrence McConner. This would be the first time everyone else would be seeing Terrence, and it's actually been a while since Terrence has been around. Look is relatively the same, so about, like, a 5-6 void with purple skin and darker purple splotches on his head. He exchanged his kind of seeker outfit and duster for a just white mandarin collar shirt that he wears fairly unbuttoned down a little bit, and has a black leather jacket that's covered in various patches. What languages does Cheshire know? Just curious.
Well, whatever the equivalent of Draconic and Lizard Folk are.
Okay. So...
Well, I think Lizard Folk is just Lizard Folk. Yeah.
In Lizard Folk, because it looks cooler, you would see that there is, like, on the front left part of his leather jacket, you would see that there's a bolt of lightning and cloud symbol that has, in Lizard Folk, Varg Lives written on it, as he's just shaking his Cheshire's hand.
That is incredible. Wow. What a nod. What a mensch. That's phenomenal. Thank you. I will pass that on. Varg is a character from my podcast who lives, apparently. Incredible. I wish.
Yeah. And he'll, again, just Terrence McConner to segue the conversation back towards what we're working on.
Quite a pleasure to meet you, Terrence. And Chesro, I don't know if I've described what he looks like either. He's 6'2". He's got... kind of a long, like Brad Pitt like long hair. You know, it doesn't really have a length, but it's just somehow really long, but it's all white, and he has it tied back in a little like crop man bun, and then he just has a simple leather jacket, some skinny black jeans, and he is wearing a t-shirt that says it's a cloud with a single lightning bolt coming out of it, and it says DOT per the character art created lovingly. But the other void, I know. See what I did there?
Yeah. So you know two.
I know two. Sign. Yeah. There's probably a ton that work at the Black Library. What does Flynn look like? I haven't met Flynn yet.
Flynn's also on the shorter side, about 5.5 feet tall. jet black hair. He's a male human, not a void, anything fancy. The only other things that stand out is his fairly sharp-looking gray suit, except the lapels are a darker red color and appear to be velvet. And then his eyes kind of flicker between gray and yellow, kind of like a, in the light, kind of shine like a wolf's might. Otherwise, he's middle-aged, not especially fit, but not too portly, just average.
You just described the dopest vampire of all time.
He is, as far as you know, not a vampire.
Okay.
The only thing that stands out is on his where a pocket might be on his breast pocket, there is a symbol and kind of line art of a looks kind of like a stylized lock, where the clasp of the lock is made out of a broken key. That's just it.
Man, y'all got a lot of cool lore shit, dude. Damn it.
So does Corbin.
Just sitting here, human.
That's all I am. Blue eyes, Steve Martin hair, human.
Yeah, but you're pulling off, like, I mean, even for a man bun, you still sound pretty attractive. So I'm like, ah, damn.
Well,
it is unnaturally attractive. He's
I'm not listening to you. You're it's because you're saying that. I'm not listening to you. I know what you are.
I mean, the interesting
charisma
part of you
drips works off it.
Yeah, the interesting parts of Corbin, though, is what? You're like 6'3", you have a scar on your face, you wear your tactical armor, you know, you also seem like
a mile
you don't
taller
take
than
shit.
Everyone else here.
Yeah. We all have to, like, look up to you regardless of how we actually feel.
That's right. Those are exactly... So as I go to shake Terrence's hand and say Corbin, those would be the things. I actually feel... That actually makes me stand a little taller because, like, he rounded up on my height, so I'm like, that's right, I am like 6'3".
It's like hugging Jeff. Like, I'm just gonna nuzzle right in here.
Oh man, but yeah, pretty clean cut guy. Wants to know what we're doing for the mission. Wants to get in and out. Not really a fan of the fluff. The longer you're putzing around, the more chance there is to go, you know, sideways. So
he's had enough. We look badass.
Well, yeah. Yep. Where are we standing outside of right now? Actually, let's start there, because if we're in front of a donut shop or something, like.
It's now the coolest donut shop.
You are. Bortrex's black market location is actually the back of a Pandemonium, a local bread shop that serves a variety of strange and crazy flavor mixtures. But a Lykel will come out wearing a full denim outfit.
Cool.
The old Canadian tuxedo Lykel.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. But,
every part of his exposed skin you can see is covered in corporate tattoos. So you've got your Bah Humburgers, your Mon Advancements, your Coyote Detectives, Golden Security.
Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Oh, yeah. No.
Because every time I say it, they pay me.
Is this guy... Lykel's are the ones with the hats, right?
Yeah.
Does he have the hats from the joints? Like, he has a fucking burger hat and a fucking... He's just got all of them?
He does not. He has the tattoo set up.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he'll come out to greet you all as he'll... We have your vehicle out back, Terrence. The rest of you, I think Xavier put in a fairly sizable advance for you to come in and pick up your stuff. But if there's anything special you need, I got plenty on stock.
Thanks.
Bortrex would be able to pull out the enhanced armors for you all to boost your defenses. Terrence, you'd be able to check the vehicle, seeing that it has multiple smuggling spots, hidden weapon caches that can be used upon later, or... are sealed with lead enough to so they can't be detected.
Yeah.
Sorry, Lucius. Get Ben.
I feel like once everyone sees the car, it looks like just a Toya Prius, but we're calling this Prime Maximus. I believe is what we called it, but in Terrence's eyes, it doesn't look like the daily driver that everyone else has. It like glistens in the street lights as he runs his hand over the hood, and just music plays as it to only him of the beginning, and as he's just thinking of everything he can do with this car.
Oh, like the A-Team? What was that?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just looking back over his shoulder towards where you're leaving his, albeit shitty, but at least nice, more fun looking car.
Yeah.
Than your Prius.
Yeah, and I'm
like, what an upgrade.
Terrence, Corbin would say, I have so much more space in my car.
I don't know about that. I got a lot of space here. You just can't see most of it.
Okay.
But as he opens the hood and then puts it back down and nods approvingly. You know what? I saw what you're driving. It's a beautiful car. Beautiful, you know, kind of classic looking muscle car thing you got going on over there. I think we need all the quality vehicles, and between you, me, and not Flynn, he's driving a beater, and we should at least take two.
Dude, yeah. Flynn, you want to ride with me?
Yeah.
Perfect, thank you, God. Okay, good.
I'll meet you guys there.
Oh,
there it comes.
Chesro will just... Where are we going? Do we know that yet? We came
bad,
here
I'm not driving.
to meet Border Trex, which I use that sometimes to clean the stains off of the walls in the dungeons of the Black Library. But
can we get records?
The helper guy's like pulling up his sleeve to show off the tattoo for Border Trex.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes, that's it.
Border Trex was my first sponsor. but yes, he does have three records.
I will grab two of those wreckers and put them in the trunk. Happy to take a third, but I only got two hands. Flynn, you think we need three wreckers? We probably need three wreckers.
I want to make sure you point that away from the passenger compartment.
I will make sure to do that. I'll put them right in the trunk.
Oh, these things are very dangerous. I have some experience with a wrecker. Not good.
That would actually catch Corbin off guard.
Live by the wrecker, die by the wrecker.
I would love to...
Almost! I dropped a wall on it. And I saved everyone. But now the wall won't talk to me anymore, and I need to patch things up with her.
And you lost Corbin's interest just like that. As soon as you get into the wall's not talking to you, Corbin would nod and then just go back.
Step
to
one is don't refer to her as the wall.
Well,
and Flynn will go get in the
She is just a wall now. She wasn't always a wall. She was a person.
Terrence's mind goes to a bookstore and does not want to elaborate on what he thinks a wall you're talking about is. It's like bookstore,
fair
wall,
enough.
Wall, pay by the hour.
Not like that. What do you mean? I don't understand. I'm not following.
Oh, it's fine. If you don't know, don't know. It's good. But my dad could tell you a lot about it. Any case.
Yeah, after loading up the vehicles and getting the items up in Vortrex, you would get the call from Xavier.
Oh, thank God. Well, what items did we all load up on, too? We just got some supplies, ammo. I mean, I'm just, at this point, I am assuming just helping Terrence constantly stuff weapons into a bunch of different crevices.
I grabbed I grabbed a couple wreckers. Pre-maxes. I grabbed my upgraded tactical armor, my bumped up stun baton. And then, do we have heal pens or like any kind of... health kits, things that can heal us, health potions, is that a thing we can have?
Bortrix wouldn't have any of that because you can legally buy that stuff.
Oh.
Like, this is all
this is all legal
stuff.
Shit? Black market
yeah,
shit?
Yeah. Yeah, like you shouldn't be able to just buy wreckers off the back of a bread van.
Can we quantum rules this and just put black market? Does he have any black market heal stuff?
He's got the really shitty stuff that you couldn't sell.
Yeah,
real
literally, I got a roll and like 10% chance it does what I need it to do. I now am addicted to shit.
Every fourth healing potion deals a point of con damage.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, I'll absolutely let you do the roll. Asterisks next to heal pins like that, they will come with a small side effect.
Otherwise, you notice Flynn, he will check out a kind of a case. But as he opens up the case and just starts manipulating a bracer he has on, and pieces get sent into the constant. So he doesn't load anything up, but he does kind of check a few pieces out and nods and then hands the case back.
Yeah, I think you would be seeing Terrence load a very unique looking energy rifle into the back trunk compartment that's like where the spare tire is supposed to go, along with, I feel like Terrence, if Jeff, you allow it, would be putting, like, loading the armrest by the driver's seat with heel pins.
Mm-hmm.
Just like at least one, yeah, at least one per person that he might have pre-bought for the mission, if you allow it. If not, that's fine too. And then in the glove compartment is his special seeker gun, and then in the driver's side door is where he stashes his boosted stun baton.
Corbin, this car is much bigger on the inside. You might like it.
Who said that?
I did. I'm down here in the back seat helping load energy weapons into Terrence's car.
That was done.
Flynn. I was totally. I was like, who said that? I don't know. Let's just keep.
No, forget. No. Who? Who said that?
Chesaro said that.
All right, go on. Moving on.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Who? Got it. No. Yeah, which doctor?
It wasn't that funny.
I'm dumb because that was my joke, and then I didn't get your follow up, which was great. Sorry. My bad. Rewind. Rid.
Is your, what did we call it? Grand Prixus?
You can.
Prixus no. Maximus. What was it?
Prius Maximus.
Pre-Maximus. Okay. Pre-Maximus.
Primax.
Is it like Primax? Okay. Is this? Yeah. Is it like magically like altered? Where like, are you guys just joshing me? Like, is it really just the size of a Prius, or like when you get in, it's like magic school bus rules?
With storage compartments and ample legroom, but it's not like a it's not the TARDIS.
Okay. All right.
It looks like a Prius, just a little bit bigger, and the doors can come off, and you can use them as a shield. I don't know if it's going to be
Prius X. Helpful,
that's cool. That's cool. Do you share that knowledge? Do we know that?
Not yet.
Okay, cool. I'll pretend I don't know that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, also, I don't think I'd have a reason to bring it up, but yeah.
Yeah, for sure. That's great. Cheshire, you're going to say that. Corbin is going to walk up to the car while you're loading it, look into the car, and then Corbin's going to say, yeah, this does look like it has a pretty good amount of room. You're not kidding. And then he's going to look to Terrence and be like, this is actually a pretty nice car.
It smells of citrus, too.
Okay. What? Corbin rubs his eyes.
Oranges.
He's like, he tries to relate to people. And then they say weird. He's like, it smells like citrus, too. Great. Awesome.
Well, with the vehicles loaded and all of you equipped, you will get the call from Xavier. So we're still tracking the HCOM, but we're able to find a little bit more information. I don't know if this is relevant to any of you, but looks like Variant Shatter is a name that they got after leaving the military. They start out as Varian Shawl. If that name rings anything to any of you.
Varian Shawl?
Mm-hmm.
Are they currently, or were they in the past, a lawyer?
Xavier, no, I'm not finding anything that would say they were.
Oh, no, I'm asking, I can make a roll on my profession to figure out if I know who they are. That's all. That was a question for Ken.
Oh, actually, that is a good one. Go ahead and roll me your profession lawyer.
That is a 26.
All right. You know this through your profession. When you hear Shawl, and especially with the Corlian, this is a case that came up not too long ago of they finally caught Ordum Shawl, a Corlian serial killer.
Relation?
That was eventually caught by Prism and locked away. It was never listed that she had any siblings, but Xavier's information seems to show that Varian may have gone under an alias.
So the Varian Shawl might be the same person as the serial killer?
So Varian Shawl would be Ordum's brother.
Ordum's brother. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, related to that serial killer?
I wouldn't be surprised. I can tell you some things about Varian Shatter. We've had some rather cross interactions. He's been hunting Lucius Estebal for some time, and I've been standing his way. And what I know is that he's in possession of several Alfier, maybe even in possession of one himself, and that he is, from what I can tell, at least the lead enforcer of the Anchored, which is this group dedicated to, taking out Lucius and possibly resurrecting the elder Magnus Estebal, which would not be very good for the world at all.
Wow. You know, I knew he could be a prick sometimes, but I'm surprised to find out there's an entire group dedicated to taking him out.
Lucius? Me too! I've never heard a cross word out of the man. I'd love him dearly, as if he was my own brother.
Okay, that's a little much, but all right.
I wouldn't say he's the friendliest guy, but I'm not saying, I would say I'm shocked that people are mad at him.
Considering his upbringing, he's practically the jolliest person I know. If you, you know, considering his upbringing, that is. Like, if you compare it to other upbringings. He just doesn't use
my upbringing,
like
you'd think I'd be Tyler. So, regardless of our feelings about how special a boy Lucius is, his family is well off, and we should still do what we can to help him out. If nothing else, they'll owe us a bit.
Sorry.
Over the table, his brothers are boss, right?
Yeah. Xavier Estebold is the older brother of Lucius and Matilda.
Yeah. Cormwood would chime in. Also, his brothers are boss.
So are we on some kind of conference call with Xavier right now?
Yes.
All right. So, this HCOM you're tracking is the one that the number that Corbin and I were able to wrestle out of those thugs that attacked us in Duskbanter?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Do we have a location on, like, I'm sure that if Oswald were here, he could tell me more about this, or maybe Gore. I don't know. Someone smarter with technology.
Yeah, we're tracking it now. Corbin and Flynn on your corporate HCOMs, you would get a ding for a message.
Corbin checks it.
Yeah, upon it, it says, locations open quickly.
Wait, hold on. Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. Did it pass Corbin's quick analysis for this being a phishing email? Because this is my corporate phone?
Yeah, if you have a corporate skill that would apply to this, go for it.
It's locations within, but the A is the at symbol.
Yeah, dude. Look, we all got to take our yearly bullshit, and Corbin takes that very seriously.
Your yearly corporate security training?
Yeah. Yeah, like, he goes to open it, and he's like, hold on
wait a minute.
Second. Wait.
The corporate jingle plays in your head as you're remembering the video you watched.
Make sure to check out the who it's sent by. That
internet safety starts with you.
I roll a 29 on my perception.
Hey, let's go.
Excellent. You're looking it over, and as you do, something just doesn't sit right with you. It seems odd. More so especially that Flynn has the same message sent, and you are on the phone with Xavier right now.
Corbin's going to shout out, Flynn, don't open that. This seems pretty fucked. Right? And then he'd stop. Right? Like, we're talking to our boss right now. Why would we get this?
Send us something.
Also, if Xavier, you're sure, there's like a little at sign instead of an A. This, I feel like this is...
It's in camel case.
The I in location is an exclamation point instead of...
Lorblex at eRunes.com.
Yeah, Lorblexing. Is that really what it says? Lorblex, you piece of shit.
But Xavier would say, no, we haven't found anything yet. My team here is tracking them. We know they're in Duskbanter. Looks like they're together at the moment. The news came back, and I guess the blink paths are out of commission, so make sure not to use those. They're not reliable at the moment.
Ah, the fuck is a blink pad?
Terrence would definitely know what those are, is that they are a series of basically dimension doors built around the city.
Oh, cool.
Enable seekers to be able to move quickly.
Totally knew that.
I would know that. Corbin would know that. So the blink doors they're compromised? Like, they're compromised, or like they're just not, they're inoperable?
The Snow Days report said that they are flickering, which means some people go in and some don't come out.
Oh, shit.
Oh, like that episode where Scotty gets stuck in the transporter buffer and doesn't come back for like 300 years and he gets to meet Geordi from Star Trek.
Well, hopefully we don't have a Tuvix situation.
Yeah.
or it's the classic Aquila Rift.
That's
so.
A good one.
All right, noted.
You'll hear on Xavier's side a bunch of dings. He asked the same kind of similar thing of like, did you just send me a message?
No. We just got a message from you guys. But it's weird because we're fucking talking to you guys.
Xavier's able to yell at some of the other people in the room to not open that.
Can I see one of your phones?
Sure.
I want to look at Flynn's phone and ask his phone, hey, buddy, can you tell me who sent that last message?
Hey, buddy phone.
Hey, buddy.
Are you petting it at the same time? Or are you just like, hey, man?
That is.
I'm like, I'm holding up close to my face.
Flynn looks at him strangely, thinking, that hey, is buddy, not buddy. A voice activated phone that works like that. I mean, it's.
It would say unknown sender.
Unknown sender. Is this a malicious message phone?
What kind of AI plugin you got, man? That's incredible.
As you're doing this, you're actually starting to see that, like, more as I'm holding the phone. It's glowing a little bit more and more with some of my sorcerer like bloodline energy. So it's a mixture of the phone is yes answering me, but it's me, my magic ability kind of giving it this presence while I talk to it.
The response comes back that it contains an image and text of an arcane nature.
With that phone, are you able to delete this message?
And it will once commanded to.
Please,
so,
please delete this message. And block sender.
Xavier, this is Chesaro. Are you able to find out where these messages came from using your magic hacking abilities that you used to find Varian Shatter in the first place? Sure, it would be nice to know who's sending us these dirty attachments. You say, they say once you get those pictures on your device, you can never get them off.
Nope, that gives us something to go off of. Give us just a minute here.
Sure.
And after a few minutes, respond back that, all right, it appears that they have split up. And we're tracking their phones at three different locations. Now, after I give you this information, I would recommend that we try not to use our own HCOMs too much, lest they start actually tracking or find out that Lucius is not here. But with that, I can say this. The message came from the east part of the Dust Banter District, but we're tracking another one of their HCOMs in the south warehouse area of the Dust Banter District, as well as on over on the kind of northeast side of the Dust Banter District that feels somewhat out of place. I'll see if there's anything over there, but I'm not sure where they're going with this.
East Dusk Banter, South Warehouse area in Dusk Banter, and Northeast Dusk Banter.
Correct.
But that one's the weird one.
And when you say they, what's you mean? I mean, we know of a few of these anchored that are left, one of them being Varian Shatter, the other being, I can only assume if they've split up, would be Lorblex, which is an Alfier in the form of a drone that seems to be operating independently. Like one of those seeker drones, but like different and angry and a little pissy, if I'm being honest.
I'm not sure. We can't confirm which number goes to which person.
Well, that means the third one must be the sniper rifle. It's a very dangerous weapon, friends. Bold partners, friends. Bold partners? Do we call each other bold partners when we're referring to the group? Or do we just say...
Chester, just call us guys.
My traveling companions. That's what I'll go with.
Colleagues.
Bold colleagues. Companions.
Bold... Oh, I like that very much. My bold companions, I must warn you, all three of these by themselves are very dangerous. I was only able to escape by using subtle misdirection.
Corbin's going to go to Terrence, hand of his Corbin phone. Hey, man, can you get that message off my phone, too?
Sure thing. I'm going to take your phone and be like, hey, guy, can you delete that last message? Thank you very much, guy. And block sender.
You got it, Mr. O'Connor.
Oh, thanks. And I'll hand the phone back. While I'm doing that, because it's something that I can kind of just do, like, it's rote memorization now, being able to do that. Can I also roll dealing with gangs in as a seeker? Can I roll, like, a corporate or knowledge or something of the different areas and know maybe, like, who is operating in those areas?
That's a great question. Absolutely.
Would that be corporate?
Yeah, we can use corporate, or if you have something specific to seeker, like profession that you want to use, you can use that instead.
Can I aid that? I have knowledge corporate.
I have profession seeker.
Yeah, I'll let all of you aid.
Oh, great.
Nice, dude.
Chesaro got an 18.
Nice.
Corbin got a 13.
I'm just trying to get all my bad rolls out.
we rolled our lightsabers. We
on knowledge checks, yeah.
Yeah.
Those three areas, the only one that stands that the East Dust Banter District that appears to be falling into the inevitable gang territory.
Mm.
That is where Gavintech stays, which is the kind of de facto authority in the gang circles. When there's a gang's mood, it's because they call one, and they're the ones who decide which gangs are approved, which ones become coalitions or members, or how they advance.
Yeah, I think I would share that bit of knowledge, and then Cheshire had a pretty decent role, or was that
curious
with
it? No, that was a role to aid. Corbin, when we left Dusk Banter just 12 hours ago, however long it's been, we had a run-in with some Aerohawks and some Kabuto.
Yeah,
I think the Aerohawks were coming for me, and those Kabuto fellow were coming for you, and they chased us out of town.
That's right.
Do those gangs, do any of you know, or do I know, great voice in the sky, if any of those gangs occupy any of those districts primarily? And I can roll another knowledge corporate if it's a separate check.
What part of Dust Banter does the Kabuto clan, is it all of Dust Banter?
Yeah, it's a good question.
So the Aerohawks are generally in the northwest Selene side, southeast Dustpanter side. So you are in their territory by being at that Bahamburger. But the Kabuto Syndicate is based out of Corlea, out of Abia. And so they're not a gang that's recognized here.
Mm, okay. So it's just like an example of like a Russian mafia showing up to New York. They have power, but like they don't have a footprint there.
Right.
Okay.
Hmm.
It's possible that these Arrowhawk fellows, they were hired by, well, I think they were hired to come and find me. If they failed at their task, well, obviously, and they may not come after us again, but that is a risk. If we are to travel back into Duskbanter, we were told very firmly not to come back to Duskbanter by your Kabuto friend.
Mm-hmm.
We're bringing this up, Flynn and Terrence, so you know what you're getting into. You're traveling with very dangerous fellows here. Corbin and myself. We're extremely badass. Yes, I have this red bandana right here. This is from the Battle of the Black Library.
How deep of a red is it?
Oh, it's like Rambo red.
Would you say almost scarlet?
I might say almost scarlet, yeah.
I think Terrence would be like, that's almost scarlet in color. That's pretty cool.
Oh, very. You like it. Oh, yeah. Excellent. And he kind of tightens it and straightens it a little bit. It's very intense.
Watch. I'll keep that in mind. Things get rough. I'll be counting on you.
Corbin's going to glance at Flynn, like, Kabuto clan. I wonder why they're pissed at us.
Oh, is there some history?
No, I was asking facetiously. Me and Flynn are a couple of thugs ourselves. We definitely haven't made a lot of friends in our dealings.
I'm sure I'd remember that.
You guys should have red headbands.
It's not precisely my style.
I think it might clash with that beautiful velvet patch you have there on your lapel.
Undoubtedly.
But Corbin, honestly, it would fit your entire whole thing that you got going on. Maybe a black headband with a skull on it.
No, I don't.
I've seen those in Duskbanter when I've been. There's guys that are always leaning over and they stand by the lampposts and they usually have skull headbands on.
That's
right. I'm always very scared of them. And I think that I think that fits you very well. Yes, they always have a little bit of a lean though.
Yeah, the six-screed skulls. Yeah, those guys. No, I don't fly my colors when I'm working. I'm sorry.
With that, Xavier will end the call, wishing you all a successful mission.
Oh, yeah, he's on the call. I forgot.
Just completely...
You're out of bullshit. Yeah.
Why did I hire these jackasses?
Shit, good day with these guys. Shit, that's right.
Well, we have three locations. Shall we flip for it, or is there one in particular that...
Yeah, you know the emails came from the east one that ties in with the Inevitable Gang? Hmm.
Those were the people wherever the emails came from, that was the person who sent them was in the east. That was the person who was trying to get us to download a virus or try to get us to send them $1,000 so that they could send us $1,000,000.
No, it's not there. That Kenya. Guy seems like a prick.
I mean, there's...
It was a Nigerian prince.
It also might
interrupt the totally missed our opportunity
chain if we take out the tech.
What if we head to Duskbanter, what side are we? Would we logically be a? Or yeah, we are. Yes.
Yep. We're
what's
in
the closest location to us.
Closest location would be the one in the South Warehouse District.
I think that's where Terrence would just because it's closest. Like, well, we got three locations. Closest to South. South's my vote. Unless people want to go somewhere else.
That is the logical step. I agree. Go ahead, Corbin. You were saying.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you. Thank you, Chester. I appreciate that. Corbin is... He's going to finish smoking the cigarette and flick it out, and then he's going to say, the East Duskbanter, if we go east to the Inevitables, I'm not really a big fan of kicking the shindig off with making enemies of the gang of gangs. Either south or northeast would be my vote.
Flynn, you made a good point, too. If we take out their technical support, then they will know that something's up.
If we don't take them out first, they'll know something's up anyway, because they'll be able to communicate. So, yeah, it might help in the long run.
My goodness, are we all aligned on which area to check out first?
Which is the south?
Yes. Everybody says it right now. So,
all right. Plus, well, you know, first, whatever we gain, we can go just hopefully it'll give us more information as we need to deal with the inevitables at some point.
May I ask for a moment of all of your time then? Because I need to protect everybody.
No.
Please.
Actually, I beg hold on. Corbin's going to look at Cheshire.
Look me right in the eyes.
You deal with Flynn first.
Okay, yes. Flynn, trust me. Great. And Cheshire will grab you by the shoulders and pierce your gaze with his eyes. And he's just like, his eyes are completely like mesmerizing when you stare at them. And he says, if you come across any danger and someone decides to take a shot at you, do not worry. You will be protected. And if you find yourself in immediate danger because someone is standing next to you and they're trying to hurt you, do not worry. You will be protected. And he says these things with utter confidence, and you feel this like acknowledgement would wash over you. You're like, okay, you got it. See, Corbin, not that bad. I tried to do it to you yesterday, and you weren't that interested. But may I?
Hold on, Flynn.
What was that?
It was merely a suggestion.
Corbin's eyebrows are gonna raise while he looks at you, smiling. Points at him. He's gonna point at Cheshire and be like, "Fucking weird, right?"
Sell me snake oil?
No.
I don't understand what just happened.
It's important that you believe the suggestion. This is critical. Do you trust me?
I don't really trust anybody, but I'll give it my best.
Hey, that's great. We're working with our best here. Do you want me to do Terrence next, Corbin, or are you feeling brave?
I'll volunteer.
All right. He'll grab your arms, look you right in the eyes, and say the exact same thing, yeah, that he said to Flynn. And you
just said, yeah.
No feeling any different, just acknowledging Chesro's confidence in what he said.
For some reason, I'm imagining when people look at the deadlights of It and Pennywise, where their face just goes slack, and you're talking to them. Sure, I felt nothing.
That's exactly what Corbin's afraid of. I was like, this guy's fucking weird, dude. I was like,
last chance, friend. All right. He'll grab you firmly, softly by the shoulder.
He's literally going to put his hand in your face. Give me a fucking second, dude. Hold on.
All right, prepare yourself. No, this is good. Jesus part Christ. Of the ritual. Whatever it takes, get there in your headspace. I want you to be comfortable.
You keep seeing him physically trying to get into it, and then like Cheshire just keeps saying stuff, and it like breaks his focus when he's trying to get in the zone.
I have some techniques you can try if you want some breathing. Just with me, our breath together. Breathe in, hold it, just gonna 2, 3, and exhale. Snap more
fingers, like, fuck it, let's do it.
All right, here we go. And he'll grab you by the shoulders, look you dead in the eyes, and say the exact same thing, word for word, that he said to your bold companions. That's it.
And then he's going to exhale as soon as you let go, and you're like, okay, cool.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. All right. I feel much better. We are totally prepared now. And if you'd like, I do have a little bit of recon, some advanced knowledge here on what we can expect to encounter. If the tech genius is this Lord Blex drone, which it seems to be, then there are only two options left if we go to the south like we're planning, where they're going to find frickin' Varian Shatter himself, which would potentially be very dangerous, or a Alfier that is a sniper rifle that has taken over the body of probably an innocent person that will be dangerouser. But I'm hoping it's the sniper rifle, because I'd love to get my hands on that.
And you do know Askarosh, the spear, is out there as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, but Askarosh seemed to be more, and Chester will share this, that Askarosh seemed to be more connected to Varian, like more like a bodyguard role. At least that's what Chesro's memory is. That could be completely wrong, but he'll share that as well. Since we're getting into some dangerous topics, this is what I know.
But Chester, okay. I specifically remember you yelling over my favorite song and saying that Alfiers were souls that inhabited inanimate objects. But you just said that this Alfier took over a person.
Yes, that is the danger of an Alfier, which is why Perpetuals must train at the library for sometimes decades before they can learn how to control them. And if an Alfier comes in contact with a layperson or an unprepared perpetual, or even one that is prepared, they can lose their consciousness and become enslaved by one of these. My very good, very best friend Oswald loves this feeling for some reason. He's a total jackass. But
I was able to save him from one of these once.
Does that involve med? Like, beating the shit out of them, or a ritual of some kind, or both?
With Oswald, there were some fisticuffs, if I remember correctly. This was several years ago now, but he's a very, like, weak little baby child, man. Yes. So we were able to take him down with only, like, one or two rounds of combat. Silly little baby man that he is. So most of the time, it's a mental game. One must succeed at a force of will, a check of charisma, if you will, that will allow them to take control.
I'm going to leave that up to you.
That's good. And he pats his, like, weird little Batman-style tool belt that he's wearing.
Sounds like you guys are deciding to go south?
South.
South. Nods all around, listener.
South.
We are nodding to each other on Discord.
Flynn?
Five men or playing Flynn. Pretend.
Flynn. Ignore that. Sexual Norman?
Yes.
What I got from my conversation there is we're either up against a super sniper or some kind of flying robot AI. In either
or
case,
a dick.
Follow behind them a bit. Give them some space. Let them go first. We'll be great.
Yeah.
Or an asshole. We might bump into him.
That's fine. If we run into the asshole, it won't hurt that you're in front. It just will help if we're getting shot at by snipers to get shot second.
Yes, sure. No, let's let the sorcerer.
This isn't a conversation I'm having with the people in the other car. People in the other car don't know that they're bait unless they realize.
Oh, we've done the separation of cars. Now.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we are in our car. He's like, hey, you should let somebody drive ahead.
I'm not telling you that. That would be rude.
Yeah.
No,
and
come
also,
on.
You'd know about it. You might try to move behind us.
No, I can't read minds or anything. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think once we agreed on the location, be like, all right, let's roll out.
I mean, as it is, we've been having, like, just shooting the shit outside of this nondescript bodega
Panera.
An hour. The guy that's, Panera, like, trying not to draw attention to himself. We're just like, hey, store here. Great store. Get your stuff. Not real stuff. Only fake stuff.
Perfect. So getting on the main roads out of Saletti, heading towards the Dust Banter District. Go ahead and, all of you, give me perceptions.
Hell yeah.
Flynn rolls a 16.
Cesaro rolled a 14.
Ooh.
29.
Don't bury it. Natty 20!
Natty 20.
To get for a 29.
Yeah.
Corbin rolls a 27.
Showing off here.
Definitely at night with the lights going by. Corbin and Terrence, you would spot the flying form above you, keeping pace with your two vehicles. As it's trying to stay in the glow of billboards and trying to stay out of sight. But both of you were able to catch him. Now, with a nat 20, Terrence, you do know this is Carver Rayland, once a member of the Bodax, though you don't know if he's still with him or if he's left. But with a nat 20, you will get something a little special. You will see in the reflection of Chesro's phone, Chesro's HCOM, in the void glass as he's clicking away at his harvest farm.
Yes. Well, the lettuce isn't going to harvest itself, Corbin.
Yeah. No, I heard all about it in our ride together.
Make sure to put the fertilizer on the corn. Yeah.
But
you know harvest farm. Hold on.
you got to earn all those harv bucks. I know.
But in between, like, basically when the screen goes black as it's changing screens, switching over to an ad for Travel Cat, you would see the outline, or the silhouette at least, female, from what it looks like, as it seems to be watching through the glass outward. And then as soon as the ad goes through, Chesro doesn't seem to catch it in between the quick switch. The Travel Cat ad, he's trying to hit that little X and it's just over on the side, just the wrong angle that he keeps hitting accept and install.
As I'm driving, my prog rock on low as we're driving. Hey, Chesro, can I see your phone for a sec?
Oh, yeah. Sure, here.
And I'm like, definitely multitasking more than anyone should in real life. I'm driving, keeping an eye on someone who's flying nearby, and then also on the phone. But this part I don't have to necessarily look at. As I hold the phone, I want to just say hello you to the person on his phone who's watching.
Never tried that. Can you build an extra farm with that command? Like an extra farm building? Because you need those to harvest all of the wheat and lettuce and carrots as they grow. And
that faint outline reacts. You see the body kind of twitch with a, like, a shock, it looks like, for a second, before the silhouette disappears.
C-
Can I be like, phone, can you make a call to that person? I'm going to see if it can. It doesn't have to, but like, see if the phone can reach out to whoever was connected to it. And I'll look over towards Cheshire, eyes not on the road, as I'm an expert driver.
Yeah.
Just gobsmacked. Staring. Like,
he's completely so gobsmacked.
Someone hacked your phone and was
watching.
What do
you mean hacked it?
The phone would say that there's no connection detected.
I'll hand the phone back to Cheshire. Someone, and I'm still looking in the rearview mirror, but not the road for some reason. well, someone was looking, watching you through your phone. So I would keep that in your pocket, or you know what? If you want, you can keep it in my glove box. It's a Faraday cage in there, and would block any phone calls, and we can use my phone.
Oh, like a copper mesh that blocks.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. If you think that's best. I'm very confused, and he'll put his phone in your glove box. I've downloaded about 16 different programs that are all dedicated to protecting my identity. So this is strange that this would have happened.
Yeah, you know, not... Well, when we get someone who's better at tech, I can just talk to phones, not great. But
that's
also,
fair.
You know,
ever since Fours left town, my phone just keeps slowing down. I don't know what to do. Usually I just hand it to him, and he hands it back to me in about 30 seconds, and it's fast again. But he never says what he does.
But you can always friend me. I'm Melons Forever on the farming game.
Really?
Yeah.
Gorn, I have been looking for another member of our farming community. This is incredible. I'm so excited. Are you sure I can't take my phone out of the glove box right now and message
you? You got to remember it.
All right, Melons Forever. I'll never forget it, I swear. This is the best day. I'm so excited to have met you, Terrence. You have no idea.
Yeah. I'm going to roll down my window and, like, signal to the back car and, like, try and point out the person who's following us. And in my best way, you know, every car has the, you know, stick it out, point your arm up, and that's take a right turn, straight, left. I'm going to do the down, like, hey, we're going to be slowing down.
Okay. Corbin, especially Terrence, being a, retired seeker and you being a seeker yourself, those commands come through just fine. Like, you know exactly what he's motioning for.
Corbin's going to look at Flynn and Corbin's going to share what he noticed, but he's going to try and do it discreetly. He's, you know, not making any movement. Hey, Flynn, we're being tailed. There's someone that's trying to stay in the glow of the billboards, and they're over us. I don't fucking know who this guy is. And right as he's saying that, he's going to see Terrence put his hand out the window and he's going to squint, and I guess we're stopping now, I think. We're stopping.
Flynn will attempt to surreptitiously find the thing he didn't see.
I don't know if everyone else sees this, but Jeff on my screen just gets more and more pixelated.
Yeah, he's... I mean, the pixels are like the size of Minnesota at this point. You're almost one pixel yourself.
I'm achieving my final form.
I am now one with the pixels.
But yeah, as we slow down... I'd be checking my phone to see if I also see that silhouette on my phone or anything, because I do have two. So I'll be looking at my HCOM and then my Nokia brick flip phone on the other hand.
No, looking it over, looking, and even going back to Chesro's HCOM and your own, you're not seeing that background image. What almost think like those old CRT monitors where an image gets burned into them kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like where you can just faintly see that. That seems to be completely gone. You're not seeing it anywhere else.
Okay. I'll hand Cheshire his phone back and be like, yeah, remember, Melons Forever.
Right. No, committed.
Yeah. And then, yeah, if Corbin stops, I'll be like, hey, Corbin, Flynn, can I check your phones real quick?
Yep.
Just to paint the picture, we're on a highway or are we on like where are we on a downtown city road?
Yeah, you're on the freeway heading into Dust Banter. So you're at the edge of the Selene District now.
Okay, Corbin is going to stop. Once we all stop, he's going to turn on his flashers. He's going to cock the slide of his seeker pistol, holster it, get out of the car, and then walk up to check on you guys, see if everything's okay, while trying to keep the figure, whatever the figure is, in the corner of his eye. And then Terrence, I know you want to check my phone, but I think the first thing Corbin's going to say is, hey man, did you see that?
Yeah, you saw it too? That's Carver?
Yeah, we're... Oh, okay. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I busted him for some stuff a little while ago, back when I was still a seeker. Don't know why he's tailing us. That's unique, but I need to check your phone. Something popped up on Cheshire's he didn't see, and I just want to make sure you're not also seeing it. And I'll describe the same thing, the silhouette of a female, vague descriptions of whatever other info I can provide.
Corbin's going to look you dead in the eye, and he's going to say he doesn't multitask when he's driving, so he didn't see any of that.
Okay.
But here's your phone.
And yeah, and I'll be like, hello, phone. Do you have a secret program running?
What's that? This is the corporate phone from Bold Partners. No, the phone would... No, I cannot detect myself running anything that is not supposed to be active.
Thanks, guy. Just make sure to stop all background data while... stop all background data, guy. Your phone's guy. Other Flint's his buddy.
That's cool, man. I figured that out. I was like... I didn't even know they had names, so that's cool.
Cheshire's his man, which also works. So, but yeah, and then I'll just hand you back the phone, and
I'll go get Flint. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Corbin's gonna walk back to the car, walk to your side, Flint, do the gesture. He's like, "Hey, roll down your window."
He does.
Okay. Hey, man. Do you see it?
He looks again. That's about the thing.
You do.
You not.
Yeah, it's apparently one of Terrence's old busts, so there's a pretty good chance he's pretty pissed. Anyway, let me get your phone. He's checking our phones. Saw some shit.
Okay.
Cool. Before Corbin leaves, if this goes south while we're driving, are you ready to rock?
Always.
Okay. All right. And then Corbin's going to walk back to Terrence, give Terrence Flynn's phone, and then Corbin's going to say, hey, do we want to do this here, or do we want to just drive and let him make his move?
That's where, while Corbin's doing that, did Carver do anything, or is he still hiding?
Looks like he's still floating, remaining stationary, but is definitely hiding basically like around the side of a building.
I know that this happened last time, that I was able to ascertain that he is currently on... I forget the name of the drug.
Grasp.
But considering that he's flying, and I only know a couple times people are able to do that using Grasp, and he's not being dead, or he's not currently being hostile, I'd probably let, Corbin know, like, hey, this guy's on Grasp. I don't know if Corbin's run into it in his dealings, but if he's just tailing us... He's either relaying information that someone else, probably unrelated or maybe related to this person on the phone. But if he's been spotted, he'll either hightail it out if we confront him now, or if he follows us, he's just going to give him more information. So I think if we can...
Does anybody have a flashlight?
I definitely do, in the trunk of my car somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mind if you pop the trunk? Can I?
I might have something a little brighter if it calls for it.
Like, I think if I'm going to trust you on this, if you think once he knows he's spotted, he's going to dip the fuck out, I'm cool with someone. Like, I don't want people to know where the fuck we are.
Yeah. Cheshire, if you got a spotlight or something, I just have a high powered, flashlight. It's good for cracking skulls and scaring people.
I think that what I have may be a little bit more situational. If we need it, we'll use it. And he taps his belt.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll pull out like one of the old school, like, big ass mag.
Yeah. That's what I imagined too. When you're like, I have it in the trunk. I'm like, hell yeah, dude.
Yep. It's like one part Billy Club, one part flashlight. Takes six D batteries or whatever. Yeah.
No, we know what you're. We know what
the mega mag. Hell yeah.
No.
What are you doing up there? He's got a baby son.
Cool. So I'm gonna take, unless you want to do the honors.
Any background on this fella, other than you busted him for dealing smack?
I think what I remember is good kid was, at least, kind of got in the wrong situation, had to bust him, didn't want to, and was hoping he wouldn't keep up his tomfoolery, but looks like he might be.
You think it's worth it to try to talk to him first, or should we just lay the smack down?
I mean, he hasn't tried to off me yet, so...
A neutral approach, then.
Yeah.
Corbin, you're the master of neutrality. Get him down here.
Corbin's gonna smile. He's actually gonna take that as like your first compliment. The whole like our whole interaction is like, all right, that's okay. He gets it. Corbin's gonna take the maglite, and he's not just gonna like hold the beam on him. He's gonna try to do Morse code and do like what? He's gonna flash Morse code. Do what? In the off chance that this druggie,
this crackhead knows Morse code. Yeah. Fuck, he might.
Who fucking knows, dude? Welcome
you
to
never
the
know.
Dude, you don't know. I don't want to assume. I've seen crazier shit.
In the big campaign universe,
dude. Yeah.
Morse code crackhead. Might be how the crackheads communicate.
You know what I mean? Fuck. It's literally the least technical way to communicate. So, like, yeah.
It'd be the least surprising thing I've bumped into in this guest starring on this podcast. I have a piece of a library that I use as a weapon. Like this.
Yeah, dude.
Morse code junkies? And hell yeah. Wall. Like, if they're not real, they need to be.
Yeah. I'm like,
jeez. Yeah, once you put the spotlight on Carver,
he dies instantly.
Oh, dude, he was a vampire.
God damn it. Sorry, Chuck.
Oh, shit.
Usually we can put our own.
Side of the tracks. I knew I should have taken Vampire Hunter as my gestalt. Shit.
So does he come down or what? Jeez.
Oh yeah, we're sorry for talking so much. So,
so here's one for you, fellow GMs. If you don't know Morse code and four people are standing on the road flashing it at you, what do you do?
Yeah, exactly what I was doing before.
I think the universal reaction to that is you flip them off.
Yeah,
I think after a long enough time, like if 10 seconds or 15 pass. I think at this point, Terrence would just be like, Carver, we see you. Get down here.
Yeah.
Oh, if you yell at him, be like, hold on, I got something for this.
Yeah.
And then Corbin is going to go to his fucking sedan and he's going to grab his like 1950s like receiver, click the button, and it's going to go to a fucking microphone and be like, Carver, we know you're up there. Get down here.
You have a PA.
Yeah. I mean, it's very old school. It's very gets the job done. It does what I needed to do. Not a big fan of like super high tech stuff for his car. So, yeah, he loves it.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead and give me that intimidate.
Oh, bitch. Let's go. I do that. I could do some fucking Tims. Let's go. This is where I'm gonna roll terribly. Ooh, pretty good. I rolled a 23.
Carver will kind of float down and approach where you're at, and hey, Mr. McConner, Officer McConner.
I'm gonna go out to shake his hand.
Yeah, when he goes to shake his hand, you can see both arms and legs are covered in what looks like a here on him a sleeve that goes over, kind of holding in where you can see that grasp addiction has etherealized basically the ends of his limbs.
Since I'm touching him, can I use my disorienting touch on him?
Yeah.
Cause a creature to doubt its sense of depth and direction. The target is sickened for a number of rounds equal to half my sorcerer level, so 3.
You will land the touch and he'll, pull his hand away as he obviously gets kind of vertigo and sickened.
And it's Carver, what are you doing out here?
For the rest of you, Carver looks to be, late teens, early 20s, has the mesh on both arms and legs that cover over all the skin. I think very kind of like Phantom Limb. But he has the black tattoos around the eyes that marks him as a member or previous member of the Bodax. But otherwise, he's wearing pretty light leather jacket, windbreaker-y clothes to kind of keep him warm while flying. But he'll lean back, sickened.
And Carver, you didn't answer my question. What are you doing out here?
Karza wanted me to keep an eye on you guys, let him know when you come into Dust Banter. They're getting paid from an outside source.
Do you know who that is?
I'm not part of the gang anymore. I'm just doing this as a side hustle. They're paying me to keep an eye on you.
Well, obviously we're going there, so you can let them know we're going. But tell me more about this person who hired you.
You know, Javi Karza, and you know who Javi Karza is. She is the void leader of the Bodak gang.
And where's she at currently?
He'll point down the freeway. And
just a little up the road.
Once you cross into the territory.
South, Dusk Banter?
Yeah, well, I mean, that they're here because I've been telling them that you're coming.
Carver, can I have your phone?
Don't have one, sir.
How are you letting them know we're coming?
He'll tap the side of his head, sliver.
I don't have anything to actually. Well,
I might be able to help here. Perhaps, friends, what we have here is an opportunity for a little bait and switch of information.
Yeah, Carver, have you met my friend here, Cheshire? And I'm going to hand him over. Also, while that's happening, I'm getting out some Gatorade in an orange.
I'm Cheshire, man. It's lovely to meet you, Carver. Rayland, is it? I have a friend who is a Rayland.
And as he's like getting to know Carver, he's going to try to increase his friendliness through diplomacy. And see if I can bump up his, you know, how he feels about us level from possibly neutral to helpful or friendly. His NPC attitude, if you will.
Perfect. Go ahead and give me a diplomacy check.
Oh, no.
As the sicken starts to wear off.
I mean, is this a situation where I can take 10?
I would say no.
Happy to roll it. I got a 25.
Yeah, with the 25, you're able to get him not to helpful from where he's at, but to friendly from unfriendly.
All right. Carver, it seems as though these Bodaks might mean us harm. They're using you to deliver information about us, right?
That's correct, Mr. Mayan.
But we are on a secret mission, and we would like for you to be a part of our secret mission club. So I'm wondering if you would, as our friend, give them a piece of information that is, well, let's just say a suggestion instead of a fact. Would that be all right?
I can give him some information. Might buy you some time.
Oh, all right. That works. What Cheshire is now going to do is actually cast a spell.
Okay.
On Carver. A spell called Suggestion, which I just linked into chat there. It is a DC 18 will save to negate. You dirty dog.
Carver's will resist.
Cheshire, with this suggestion, will say, what you should tell them is that we are headed immediately into the northwestern district of Duskbanta to investigate a crime that has happened there, a robbery on behalf of our secret club, the Never Bold Friends. Yes, that's the name of our club, as his suggestion fails.
Confusion would pass across Carver's face as he kind of, I think I understand what you're saying, but I'll give you guys some time before I let Javi know that you crossed over. I can do that.
Sorry, friends, I'm afraid that didn't go quite as planned, but maybe we have bought ourselves a little bit of time.
Carver, you're a good kid. I'm going to hand him the Gatorade in orange.
Yeah, his sickened condition goes away.
You really should go home to your mom. Or wherever his whatever he's doing.
I gotta let Javi know, and then I'll get out of here.
All right. I don't want to see you out here again.
Yeah, well, thanks again, and good seeing you, Cheshire, Mr. Man.
Great to see you too, Carver. Fly safe on your trip.
Hey, kid, before you go.
Yeah, he'll turn around.
Splint fishes around a pocket and pulls out a square of paper. That's my card. I just feel like you'll need a lawyer someday.
Thought you were going to hand him a Werther's Original for a second there.
Yeah, I was expecting candy too. That's how lawyer of you.
But Carver will pocket the business card and... thanks, I think.
Not thank you.
And then they will take off into the sky, flying up into the city. With the Bodaks delayed, you guys are able to enter into the Duskbanta district unassaulted.
Boom. Mission successful.
It mostly worked. Mm-hmm. I would have much rather them not know what district we were going in, but...
Well, you should have rolled better.
If yeah. I had known,
Jeff should have rolled worse.
Yeah,
hit a plus three.
Yeah, 17.
I have
dude.
A spell that could have helped, which is a touch of idiocy.
Yeah.
No, but you decided to make him sick and give him an orange.
Entering into the Duskbanta district, you guys can hear the sounds of seeker sirens going off. Occasionally, you'll pass by people that are gathered around, kind of like a strange door that they're like opening, but there's nothing on the other side of it. Kind of thing, people freaking out. You definitely can tell the Gelatinous Cube Gang that there are more of them out and about tonight as they are cleaning up and gathering things and disappearing things off the street. But heading to the south as our heroes follow along.
There's heroes following us?
No, you're the bad
guy. Oh, shit.
Son of a bitch!
Oh my god, I knew we were the bad guys.
I think, yeah, Terrence would just be defensive driving here, knowing that there's a lot of gang violence and things going on, making sure not to get hit or run over anything that could disable a vehicle, hopefully.
Chesro will say, it seems like reality is out of sync here, Terrence. I'm not sure I understand what's happening. Do you? People, look there! Someone just opened a door and there was another door.
No. I mean, my past expertise is in corrupt seekers and monsters with extra tentacle limbs. Doors.
Oh, the classics.
Yeah.
I'm nervous. I'm unfamiliar with this. And normally I would be able to check a resource, but she isn't answering me right now. So I'm a little bit... I wonder, your power to communicate with technology. I've witnessed you do some incredible things. Would you be able to extend that to something of a magical nature?
I mean, I can try. It's a lot like talking to a person, really. Like, they don't really have a lot to say. Most of them aren't super chatty. Magical things, no one usually lets me play with them, so.
Well, she might be very sensitive. I will aid you shielding your mind if it comes to that, but here. And he takes, while we're driving, takes off his necklace that he has, you know, on a leather cord around his neck. And he hands it to you. And at the amulet of the necklace, if you will, is just a broken piece of stone that has no particular shape. The leather cord is wrapped around it to hold it in place and is turning this stone chunk into an amulet of sorts. This is my friend Wheeze. And, I'll just bluntly say, ever since I used her to stop a wrecker from killing me and my friends and also Oswald, the man baby, she's been kind of silent. And I would love to know what's going on, and you seem to have a way with things. If you're comfortable, she is an Alfier, so she might try to possess you. But I think that you can probably resist that.
Sure.
If you just give it back.
How about let's do it when I'm not driving? I feel like I might need both my hands for the situation. And
I'm sure it would be fine. She's not very hostile, and she knows how to drive. If she possesses your mind, we'll just, you know, we'll unpossess you, and nothing bad will happen. I'm certain of it. This is only my third time in a car, so I'm not really sure how they normally work.
Yeah, definitely don't mind doing it. But
the alien possessing you can drive also. It's fine.
Yeah, I would. I'm driving a. If this vehicle is not being piloted correctly, it does turn into a like 4-ton death cannonball. So,
that's exciting.
Let's like I said, I'll help, but let's do it when I'm not driving.
All right, fair enough. Puts the necklace back on, tucks back in his shirt. It's gonna be okay. No, he's a friend. Promise.
As you're all continuing along, can I get a drive check from Corbin and Terrence?
21.
As you're finishing that conversation, Chester, looking outside, kind of following the information you got from Xavier, you recognize the district, or you do recognize the area that you're in. You are not that far from Bold Requisitions.
Yeah, South Dust Banter, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a Bah Humbug not too far from here.
I do love their pizza, or their calzone burgers.
Ah, calzone burger fan! I am in the right Primax.
With 21, Terrence, you're able to weave out of the way as this large shard of metal comes slamming into the ground on the road. Corbin, you're not quite as lucky, as you will see the chunk of what appears to be kind of a surveillance drone sticking out of the hood of your vehicle.
The party host, what was that?
I'll do a 6 tail spin and just like spin around to see... Tokyo Drift my car to see what happened to Corbin's car.
Yeah. Actually, funny enough, that is a drive check to pull a stunt like that. So go ahead and give me that roll.
27.
Perfectly. Yep, you're able to flip around 90 degrees and keep your momentum. As you look, you can see the surveillance drone currently embedded in the hood of Corbin's vehicle. Looking back, you can see that's actually what you swerved and dodged out of the way. We end the session with a couple things. One, as you can see in certain areas, glitches and sparks in the sky above, as some of the surveillance drone network seems to be collapsing down onto the city. But also that sweet turnaround, you would hear the clap before all of a sudden the back of the vehicle, the window would shatter where a driver would have been. As you come skidding to the end here, in front of where Bold Requisitions would be, you're at the T part of the street. So passing the Baja Burger before you take the right, as that sniper bullet pierces the vehicle where a driver would have been had somebody not just flipped their car 90 to 180 degrees. And that is where we will end the session.
Cool. Cool.
Glad I didn't get shot.
Corvo was going to do it, but I was like, see, he's just showing off now. This is... As a patron, he's going to do a one.
Thanks for listening. Like, rate, review, blah, 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 you know the stuff. Our intro and outro are from Nihilore, Guillotines for Christmas. You also heard from Nihilore, Our Ships Line the Ocean Floor, as well as from Begench Begeju, Neon City. Sound effects from Pixabay. And, well, sorry it's taken me a little bit. Work's been a little bit busy, but hey, back on the editing train. So, take care of yourselves out there, and we'll see you soon. All right, bye, 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 bye.